This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besant. Cody is with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk farm bill. We'll talk emergency relief and disaster relief. Those are two separate things. It's all coming up in just a moment. First off, Corey Geiger is with CoBank. Who is CoBank and what do they do?
CoBank is short for Cooperative Bank. We're part of the Farm Credit System that was established by Congress in 1916. So in the Farm Credit System, there's 52 associations that work with farmers and agribusinesses across the country. And CoBank is actually short for Cooperative Bank. So if a cooperative would like to get a loan from the Farm Credit System, we're there to work with them. And we also do a number of loans to other businesses that support farmers throughout the United States.
The Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Cody Besant. Cody is CEO, Plains Cotton Growers. And let's see, I imagine you're on the road because I'm hearing something in the background, but that's really your life this time of year, isn't it? Travel a lot?
It is. It's been a pretty aggressive start to the new year, which is great. We're very happy to be able to travel on behalf of the producers that we serve and work on issues. Today, I'm in the city. We've been meeting with the USDA Risk Management Agency here to talk about some additionalities on potential insurance-based products that industry's been working on, and get some additional feedback from the key folks that we need to have some feedback on to move the process forward. So I've been here. We'll go to D.C. in a couple of days, and toward the end of the month as well to continue advocacy work in that realm. And then we have the National Cotton Council annual meeting that we'll attend in next week.
Now, one of the highlights from that meeting is kind of a projection based upon producer sentiment for an acreage we might see and, you know, what we might see from a cotton crop in 2025. But that's also coming prior to getting an insurance level set, which is happening during the month of February. How do you explain though that to somebody who doesn't really understand how insurance is set?
Yeah, so insurance goes through what's called the discovery price. So for us specifically, we will watch the December 2025 futures market right now through the month of February. And they'll take an average of those total closings each day for the month of February. And then that will set a discovery price for cotton specifically going into the new year. And a lot of folks use it for refinancing-based purposes. They know kind of where the minimus or a guaranteed value is, levers against the producer's coverage level and APH, so that they can look at that for refinancing. Hopefully we'll see an uptick in the market that will help set a more reasonable discovery price. Right now we're sort of at the bottom, looking at around 67, 68 cents the last couple of days as the markets have opened and closed. But hopefully it'll uptick higher as we go through the month of February so people can utilize that for refinancing purposes. And then in the fall, we do a harvest price discovery. It's in the month of October, very similar base process, but it looks at kind of the overall snapshot of the year and utilize that for any type of differences between the two, the discovery price now and the harvest price than in the set in the fall.
We look across much of the row crop sector and we're seeing red year over year, except for corn. Corn has actually come up about 10% from where we were early February of 2024. Soybeans down over 12%, the wheat market down 5%. But not many that are seeing 20+% drops in prices in cotton. Last check, around 23% lower than it was 12 months ago. Just really underlining, if you will, how much pressure is on those cotton producers. Congress recognized that and came out with some assistance. Is this economic assistance? Is this disaster assistance? One and the same? Are they different?
They're different. So the economic assistance was developed very prescriptively through a lot of different hands and advocacy efforts to help address the shortfalls in the economic and financial duress that we've seen in the ag community all across the board, not just cotton, but you mentioned corn, wheat, beans, sorghum, peanuts, all kind of the basic staple commodities that we see. And certainly we're very appreciative of what was developed. But for those that are listening, it's still something that's being utilized by the financial institutions for refinancing, as well as looking at insurance-based products and a discovery price. But we're still falling very short of where a break-even price for a producer is today. Cotton, by an example, the break-even price when compared to an average production history or an individual base yield, you know, we're looking at 90-something cents or plus in order to meet the demand of cost of production. So these tools are very valuable, very helpful from an immediate basis assistance as they look at refinancing, but we're still not quite home yet to even break even. But disaster-related assistance, again, very separate than economic assistance, is to help address and mitigate the losses that we have seen in crop year 2023 and 2024 based on catastrophic disasters. Most are very aware of the hurricane situation we experienced in 24, the systemic drought that we came under in 2023. Then you've got other related disasters and declarations for excessive heat or flooding, tornadoes, things of that nature that are very prescriptive within the end of the year spending package that was passed going forward. So we're very confident the economic assistance will be implemented very quickly. There is a timeline from 90 days of enactment to get all that out the door. We think it'll be enacted prior to the 90-day timeline, just given the fact that they're moving very expeditiously of confirming a new Secretary of Ag. Brooke Rollins, the nominee, she was confirmed by the Senate Ag Committee unanimously this week. They'll find some floor time in the near future to get her fully confirmed by the Senate. And then once she's up and running in her new position within USDA, I feel very optimistic and very confident that the economic assistance will be implemented very quickly upon her taking that position and being fully confirmed. Disaster-related assistance, there is some prescriptiveness that USDA is looking at on how to adhere to the development of the program in itself. But it will take a little bit more time to get that program essentially up and functioning as compared to the economic assistance. But I feel very, very good, very optimistic. USDA is doing some work right now, maybe even prior to the secretary being confirmed, to propose some ideas. And hopefully within the second or third quarter potentially of the calendar year, that program can be up and fully functioning and financial support can be presented to producers in a timely manner too.
You mentioned Brooke Rollins in there as waiting for the confirmation, but next Secretary of Ag. And there's another position that's being filled, and you touched on this, is actually somebody who was there for 4 years as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency, and that's Richard Fordyce, somebody who really understands the inner workings of USDA. Is that a positive? Could that be a positive for producers?
Yeah, absolutely. Richard Fordyce was very good to work with on behalf of producers' interest during the President Trump's initial administrative term. Certainly, he kind of knows some of the ins and outs of USDA from his time spent there, and so it allowed some longevity and some historical perspective. But also, the administration as a whole moving very, very quickly with proposing nominations, trying to get people set up and running. That way they can get programs fully on board and implemented. Because keep in mind, this current administration has not 8 years, but just 4 years. And so there's a lot on the agenda to really address going forward and not a lot of time, even though 4 years seems like a lot of time. There's a lot of big issues they want to address. So obviously in the near term for us, trying to get a new and more vastly improved farm bill before the end of the current one that expires in September. I think you'll see Chairman Bozeman, ranking member, Chairwoman Klobuchar in the Senate, and you have Chairman G.T. Thompson and the new ranking member, Angie Craig, in the House move very expeditiously to try to get a new bill done in a timely manner that's enhanced. They obviously have to figure out what to do and address the expiring continuing resolution that will run through mid-March, and the House as well is starting off on their path to address reconciliation, which is a budgetary initiative. You're looking at tax reform. We're trying to look at how to either extend the current provisions that were enacted through the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Certainly that'll be a big point of negotiations going forward. And then you're also seeing a more aggressive approach on trade, whether that's developing new unilateral or bicameral trade agreements or enforcing ones on a more regular basis that were enacted previously to make sure our foreign partners are meeting their buying powers and what they have committed to in some of these more previously negotiated and implemented agreements. So a lot of moving parts at this point in time, and not a lot of time to really waste.
You know, I'm just wondering here as we wrap up, Cody, there's a push to bring things back to the United States, so manufacturing jobs. The textile industry was pretty much decimated years ago here in the U.S. as things went abroad. With about a minute left, is there a chance, an opportunity to bring some of that back into the U.S. or grow what we have already here as far as the textile goes?
We certainly hope so, and you know, think anybody would within an industry position, whether you're a producer or a downstream segment, would be supportive of either enhancing the current textile industry that remains in the U.S., which it has dwindled over time, or trying to figure out initiatives to bring back that industry here domestically, where we can produce and consume domestic products and not be solely relying upon a global trading platform or a global economy of scale like we have been over the last couple of years. But keep in mind, too, and I'm being pragmatic and realistic about this, is the industry didn't evolve fully in the U.S. and has it. I don't expect it to, but it also moved overseas, but it didn't happen overnight. So it's not going to return itself overnight. It's going to take some time and some strategy and some maturities to be able to do that. And industry is doing a very good job of trying to do that, but it is going to take a little bit of time, just to be very, very transparent with listeners.
Well, as we conclude here, if we want to keep up with Plains Cotton Growers, the work you're doing, can we find you online?
We can. You can visit us at plainscotton.org or at any of our social media outlets, be it Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn or other outlets as well.
Cody Besson, CEO, Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Cody Besant with Plains Cotton Growers.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Cody Besant, Plains Cotton Growers Online, plainscotton.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. What's the effect of beef on dairy cross? Brady Miller is with Texas Cattle Feeders.
It has been significant for the feed yards in the U.S. When we talk about beef on dairy. If we compare and we look back at what we saw in 11-12, we replaced a lot of those animals with Holstein animals, especially in the South, in the feed yards in the South. This time it wasn't Holsteins, it was beef on dairy. So we're still talking about dairy that came in, especially for the feed yards in the South, and filled that gap. And then the other piece of this that we're going to talk about and cannot, go too far in this discussion without talking about Mexican cattle crossing the border in the South and the significant part that they play in that gap stop as well.
It's the Agribusiness Report.